These are your prayers this evening. I didn't expect to get up here, but whatever the Lord would have us to do, I was asked back home to teach the young people's meeting. It was a vacation Bible study, and one of the sisters that normally teaches our young people, her husband had been very sick, and so they asked me to fill in for her. And all I could say is, well, Lord, if you open the door, I guess I need to go through it. So they asked me how I did, and, well, I don't really know. I just gave them what the Lord gave me, and I'll have to leave it with the Holy Ghost from there. And that's what I want to do tonight, too. I have a burden upon my heart. But before I get started, I want to say something. You know, I believe that God is looking everywhere, all the time. There's nothing hidden from him. And he can be all places at the same time. And I believe that when someone calls out his name, it brings his attention to that person. No matter where they're at, no matter what they're into, if they're crying out for mercy and they're calling on their God, God hears and he looks their way. Do you believe that? I believe that. And that gives me hope to know that no matter where I'm at, I can call upon my God and he'll look my way. Isn't that wonderful? Dear ones, I believe that. I believe that's true. Take hope and know that if your heart is calling out for your God, I think about the story of the man in the temple. He wouldn't so much as lift up his head to heaven, but he just looked it down. He smote his breast. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus turned to his disciples. He said, that man is going to his home justified. And I thought, isn't that something? Oh, praise God that we can call upon his name and know that he hears. And to take his attention. Look down at his little one that's calling on his name and hear an answer. I tell you, that's the God I serve. Isn't that the God you're looking for? Is that the God you serve? Oh, so wonderful. Thank God. Desire your prayer. Turn with me to Psalms. Now, I'm having a real hard time seeing up here the light. My eyes, I guess, as I'm getting old, this old age is having a rough time with my old body. So pray for me. Psalms, the 12th chapter. And I want to read the first verse. Psalms 12 and 1. It says, help, O Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail, but among the children of men. Dear ones, we're in a time in history, this time that we live in now. And as I look around, we've heard it this morning how Christianity is under attack. It's become a bad word in some corners of this nation. Now, we knew in the world, but in this nation, as I look around, I see so many things going on and that causes me to know that we're in the last of the last days. And I don't care what anybody else is teaching or saying. Jesus said, can't you read the signs of the time? You look at the sky and know what kind of weather it's going to be, but can you look around you and see what's going on? I heard a story about a scientist. They were talking to a scientist about cryogenics. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's where they take a body that's sick and they freeze it. And they pay a lot of money and they freeze it. And then when they find a cure for what was ever killing them, then they'll bring them back to life and cure them, and then they can go on and live. Now, does that sound like God's job? Doesn't life and death belong to God? Dear ones, that's what's going on today in our world. The scientist said, we're 30 years from perfecting that. 30 years. But he said, that's just being careful. He said, really, we're 10 to 15 years away. Only 10 to 15 years of putting themselves in the place of God. Dear ones, that's what I see. Our legislators, you know, changing the laws to so contrary to the word of God. Doesn't it bother you? Doesn't it give you a little bit of fright? Not to be scared, but to understand that the end is so close. Are you ready to meet your God? Lord, help us. I'm getting off here. I get carried away. Lord, help me. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 24. Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 37th verse. But it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, how was it in the days of Noah? How was it in the days of Noah? Only how many souls were saved? Eight. Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives. How many years did he preach? Over 100. And only 8 souls? Today, the Word of God is at our disposal. My wife and I, we had to stay in a motel room last night, and she put her glasses in the drawer there. She said, now be careful, my glasses are in here. Don't be rummaging around. I said, I'm getting in there to get the Bible out. Because most motels got a Gideon's Bible somewhere in there. And I was going to bed, and I wanted to read a little bit, so I got it out and read it. The Word of God is at our disposal if we'll but look for it and cherish it and want to know what it has to say to us. And as I read this scripture, it says, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Only 8. So how many are getting saved today? As I look out there, now, our meeting in Fresno just got over, and we baptized 9 people. Brother Ron knows, huh, Brother Ron? He was there to help. One sister was in a wheelchair, and 4 brothers or 5 brothers got a hold of her. She wanted to be baptized. They took the wheelchair and the sister and all right down into the pool and baptized her. Thank God. But how many are really giving their lives to God? All that were baptized had already been saved. They just wanted to rededicate their lives. They didn't want to have any questions in their mind of where they were, and they had done their work, and they weren't getting saved again. They just wanted to be closer to God, and they felt that that's what they needed to do. But how many are getting saved today? Can we look around and see, isn't this like it was in the days of Noah? Lord, help us. 7th chapter. Let's go to the 7th chapter of Matthew. 13th. I'm going to begin at the 13th verse. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to put something on the board here. Because as I was looking at these scriptures and God was dealing with my soul, I got a little vision here. So I want to share that with you. I'm not a good artist. My penmanship isn't very good, but we'll try to do the best we can. Can you see that? Somebody say no? Well, it's very simple. Up at the top it says glory. It represents heaven. But we come down here on this line. It's the line of decision. And right here it says gate at this line. There's a gate that we've got to go through. I've got Christ here at this line of decision, 2014. And this wide road, you see how narrow it is, but how wide it is, that's the fire, lake of fire. Just simple. But as I looked at that, so many say, well, Brother Rich, it's 2014. We're in a different time and in a different place. Things are different and they've changed, and the church needs to change with them. Do you believe that? What'd God say? I am God and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church of God, His holy bride, it's holy, it's beautiful, and it's spotless. Dear ones, we're at a place where are we going to choose Christ here at 2014? The line of decision is right here. And there's a gate here that we're going to need to go through. Or we can take the easy way. Can I say that? The easy way? You know, the standard that God has set for His people, it's a high standard. And it's a narrow way. Talking to the brothers the other night, and they were talking about the size of our congregations, and I said, if you preach the truth, how big will our congregations be? How many really want to go this narrow way? This straight way? Dear ones, there's not many. I told my wife, I said, you know, honey, I said, we can't compete with the world. They've got so much to offer. The only thing we've got is the truth and the Holy Spirit. She said, that's enough. I said, you're right, and I agree with it. It's held me here, and it's held her here. But how many have, and I told her, I said, I began to think about all that were once among us, and now they're not here anymore. Why? Why? Because that wasn't enough for them. The truth and the Holy Ghost was not enough. They want the world. And you can have it out there. You can have it in all the other churches, really, just about. Can I say that? But if you want the world, it's not here. What you find here is the truth and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost backs the truth. It'll change you. It'll make you different, praise God. All right. 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravishing wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I'll stop there. I've been called to a relative. Matter of fact, my brother Casey and I, Brother Casey, I like that, went to a hospital to pray for someone that was close to his side of the family. There was a man there, and he had cancer. So we went to pray with them, and I asked them how it was with their soul, and they said, well, the Lord had recently spoke to me and said I needed to make some changes in my life. I don't remember exactly how he put it, but it troubled him. He knew it was God speaking to him, and he needed to make some changes. So I asked him if he made those changes, and he said, well, I called my pastor and told him what the Lord told me. And my pastor said, well, we'll just baptize you again. And I said, well, what about repent and be baptized? Repenting comes first. Oh, he said, oh, no. He said, I don't need to repent. There's nothing in my life to repent of. Really? He said, yeah. He said, well, I cuss a little bit. Maybe I'll have a drink now and then. And I got a temper problem. But other than that, I don't have anything to repent of. What do you do with a case like that? Well, so when we prayed, I prayed about him finding that place to repent. Didn't know what else to do. I had a friend of mine that I knew, known from years, and he lives in further up in Northern California, and whenever I go through, I try to stop and at least spend a little time with him. We'd worked together for some years, and he has four daughters, and he was quite troubled. He had one daughter that was out of control, and he didn't know what to do. He had done all that he knew to do, and it just wasn't working. She was running around with the wrong crowd, and he knew that she was destined to get herself into trouble, and he didn't know what to do. He was looking to God, and he finally went to the elders of his church, and he said, I want you, the elders, to lay their hands on me and pray for me. I need wisdom in how to deal with this daughter. I'm losing her. I'm losing her, and I need God's help. So they got around him, and they put their hands on him, and they began to pray for him. And as they were praying, God spoke to him, and he said, Steve, live a holy life. And that's what he told me. And I said, well, thank the Lord, Steve. God spoke to you. He said, I don't know how to live a holy life. I guess where he goes to church, they don't teach that. Now, I'm not up here to run down churches. I'm just telling you things that I've run into. It says, beware of false prophets. Dear ones, all we've got is the truth and the Spirit of God. It's enough to get us to heaven. All this other stuff, and I'll get into that a little bit here. So I started digging around in some of my books, and I found a book that was titled, How to Live a Holy Life. I think it was by C.E. Orr. Is that right? Anybody? Okay. And I gave that to him. And about a year later, I said, Steve, how's it going with your soul? Did you read that book on how to live a holy life? He said, no, I didn't read it. He's not willing to live a holy life. Basically, what he told me is, I don't want to live that way. I've asked God for something, and he spoke to me. But I don't want to do that. Dear ones, that's what's happening today. Lord, help us. We've got a decision to make right here in 2014. Christ is there at that line, asking you to come to him. Lord, help us. 19th verse. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Oh, I hear all the time, don't judge. I remember getting a book from an older lady, a Bible, and I've seen some of the things she'd underlined. And one of the things she underlined is, judge not lest ye be judged. But she didn't go on to highlight the things and what it was talking about. If you judge someone and you're guilty of it, that's what it's talking about. You're going to be judged just like you judged, if not worse. But people say, no, don't judge. You can't judge. But I'm looking at you. Okay, I'm a fruit inspector. And now what it's saying, dear ones, we're fruit inspectors. Know ye not that the saints will judge the world? Can't we judge the little matters amongst us? Lord, help us. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. These two men I talked to, they didn't want what I had to offer. A holy and a righteous life. No, they wanted to live the life they were living. Yet God was merciful and spoke to them. And they testified. And dear ones, I believe they had it right. God had talked to them. And they went past it. And they're both today in that same condition, as far as I know. Are we going to be found in those conditions? How is God talking to you tonight? Here, 2014. Lord, help us. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. From time to time, dear one, I look into the Word of God, I come across a scripture, and I say, that's an important scripture. Oh, they all are. But I come to a point where I say, this goes beyond that. You see where it says, the will of my Father? You see, these men's will was not to do the will of God. He spoke to them and they rejected it. Dear ones, if we're not careful, we'll be found in the same place. Lord, make your will my will. Take my will and get rid of it. It's of no value. Man is not destined to choose his own pathway. We've heard that in this meeting already. Lord, help us. But he that doeth the will of my Father, he's going to make it into heaven. This is an important scripture here. Stands out to me. You mean, Lord, I can't have my own will? No. I need to have his will. Lord, I want to do it your way. My way needs to die out. Be gone. Take it where you took the sins and cast it all together out in the midst of the sea. Lord, I want your will. I want to know your way. Because I've made a mess of things doing it my way. Lord, help us. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I wonder about this scripture. Lord knows all of us. He created us. He breathed the breath of life into every one of us. He knows them just like he knows you and I. But what he's talking about is that close relationship, that communion with him that's so sweet and so beautiful that you could call upon him any moment of any day and he's there. He's there to work on your behalf. I believe it. Brother Humphrey, you believe that? Praise God. Brother Humphrey's a good friend of mine, okay? I appreciate him. Praise God. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Dear ones, there's a rock we need to be building on. His name is Jesus. My daughter was talking to my wife recently about, I can't remember what it was, but there was a lot of religious stuff going on, and they were talking about the goodness of God and the mercy of God and God's will and all these different things, but not one time did they mention the name of Jesus. Dear ones, under no other name under heaven were why a man could be saved. The Jesus. You know, I thought about getting a t-shirt made, but I don't want to advertise, but maybe a bumper sticker that says, you got questions? There's an answer. It's Jesus. To all your questions, all your troubles, all your whys, Jesus has an answer. Lord, help us. Turn with me, John, the 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter. And the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What's that say to you? Dear ones, too many are trying to get to heaven a different way than the way that's narrow, it's straight, it's holy, and it's righteous. And dear ones, it won't get them there. It won't get you there, and it's not going to get me there. Because the Bible says, you're a thief and a robber. Today I see so many teaching their young children to be thieves and robbers, saying you don't have to go the way of the cross. There's an easier way. You don't have to measure to that high standard that God has set. There's an easier way. Dear ones, it's a lie. There's a way that you and I must go to not be considered a thief or a robber. I don't want to be a thief or a robber. I want to make heaven. And I know you do too. But I only know one way. And that's the cross. pick up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. Lord, help us. Mark the 10th chapter. Mark the 10th chapter, 17th verse. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" That's quite a question, isn't it? Just tell me what I need to do, Lord. I just want to know, am I failing? Am I short? Whatever it is, just tell me. That's what I want to do. Isn't that what he's saying here? And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to God. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I obtained from my youth." Now the reason I like the account of Mark is this next scripture. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Isn't that something? He loved him. He loves you too. He loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." Can one thing keep us out of heaven? What? Well, now wait a minute. Come on, just one little thing. Now, can it keep us out of heaven? I believe that's true. And I believe that's why it's recorded here in the Word of God, so that we will know and that we will understand. "One thing thou lackest." Where's I at? Somebody help me. What scripture was I on? What was it? 21st. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me." There it is again. Take up your cross. What is a cross? Dear ones, what's a cross? Anything that crosses your will becomes a cross to you. But when you get rid of your will and you pick up the Lord's cross, Jesus' cross, God's cross. You know, I had a man tell me, he stood up in service. He was taking care of an invalid wife. It's a hard job taking care of it. He was up there about 80 years old, and he's still taking care of this invalid wife, all by himself, doing all he could with her. And he testified. He says, "You know, when you love something, it takes the work out of it." And then I realized what he was saying. He loved his wife so much that there was nothing he would not do for her. Dear ones, do we love God like that? Take up my cross and follow him. His cross and follow him. His will become my will. Oh, Lord, help us. "And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me." And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus ran after him. He said, "Hold it, wait a minute. I've changed my mind." No, he didn't, did he? Too many are running after saying, "Oh, no, we'll tone it down for you. I don't think God's... I'm going to make an excuse this time." Dear ones, there's no excuses. Thou art inexcusable, O man. We have the truth, and we're going to be judged by it. And we have the Holy Ghost to witness what is right and what is not. A standard that God has set for his people. A straight and narrow way. Lord, help us. Turn with me back to Mark. No, I'm going to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 21st verse. Matthew 6 and 21. Come on, we know this scripture, don't we? "For where your heart, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What's your treasure? What do you treasure above all things? That rich young man thought that he treasured God. I did all this from my youth. Jesus said, just you gotta do one more thing and you got it. You got it. You're there. Just one more thing and eternal life is yours. Just get rid of all that stuff that you got your heart on. It's going to be a hindrance to you. It'll get you out of heaven. Why? Because your heart's on it. That's your treasure. God wants to be your treasure. Dear ones, that's a hard decision. It was a hard decision for him. He went away sad. There's no account that he ever turned back. No account that he ever got saved. To me, that's sad. Jesus loved him. But he's not going to change the word of God for no one. Not for him, not for you, and not for me. Lord, help us.
Dad?
Yes. Thank you, Breezy. Sister Breezy, you're absolutely right. Let's go to Romans. Well, Sister Breezy, since how you brought that up. A really good example. We can look at someone and we can look and say, well, they're a really good example. But I don't know their heart. I don't know where the will is. But God does. And nothing will escape him. Don't you think you've got anything hidden? It says, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Dear ones, nothing's hidden from our God. He knows every thought of thy mind and every love of thy heart. He knew that young man, didn't he? Lord, help us. All right, Romans, the 10th chapter. And the 9th verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The world's trying to make us ashamed, dear ones. Have they got to you? Have you backed off? Have you been afraid to announce that you're a child of God? That you believe in Jesus, the Son, is the Savior of the world? Because he lives in me. We said that first song tonight. Jesus lives in me. That's how I know this thing's real. That's how I know it ain't make-believe. I'm not up here just because I want to be heard or seen. Because I don't want either one of those things. But Jesus lives in me. It's a life-altering situation. He changed me. Made me a new creature. I belong to him. I owe him my life. Do you owe him your life? How much has he done for you? You know, we can go back and talk to the little children. They can tell you. He's worked with them too. I was just a child when God began to deal with me. I wish I'd have picked up my cross and followed him all the rest of my days. But I come up short. But I don't plan to come up short anymore. And with his help, you know what I've learned? I can't do it. I can't live this life. I tried and I couldn't do it until he brought me to a place to tell me I can't do nothing without him. And when I finally got to that place, I threw up my hands and said, Lord, I see it. I need you. Well, it's about time. Dear ones, we're wasting time. Tell the Lord you need him. Every part of your life. Oh, Lord, help us. All right, John the 8th chapter. I read a lot of scriptures. Lord, help us. 31st verse. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, Can I add this? Can I, if you'll continue in my doctrine, then are ye my disciples indeed. Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you got to continue in His Word, in His doctrine. You get off the track, dear ones, you'll find yourself out there all alone. And ye shall know the truth. Why will we know the truth? Because we're willing to continue in His doctrine. You see how these scriptures go together? These are some of those scriptures that stand out, that become so important to me. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. If you'll continue in my word, you're gonna know the truth. You get sidetracked and you get confused and say, well, I just don't have any convictions. Well, I just don't know if I believe that. I don't know why my forefathers did that. Dear ones, get in the word. Get in His doctrine and it'll come clear to you. That's what it's saying here, isn't it? And ye shall, no, not you, maybe, ye shall know the doctrine. All you've got to do is get in the Word, in His doctrine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What are we talking about? Being set free from the bondage of confusion out there in the world. I don't need to be confused. I can know that Jesus dwells in me. He lives in me, praise God. Made me a different man. Seventh chapter of John. 16th verse. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Oh, I just told you His doctrine, didn't I? It's not mine, but His that sent me. Well, who sent Him? God the Father. Who'd He send? God the Son. He was there when everything was created. He knew this was said from the foundation of the world. This salvation was because of Him. Because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine's not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will. Now here's another one of these scriptures. Dear ones, so important. One of the most important scriptures in the New Testament is right here. I'm going to read it to you. If any man will do His will, that's God's will, God's doctrine, he shall know of the doctrine. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. It's the same as we just read earlier. Isn't that something? If you've got His will and not your will, I got to clean this. Isaac, give me some killings. Just let me have that little box. Thank you. Dear ones, this will take away confusion, won't it? All you got to do is say, Lord, give me Your will. Amen. Oh, dear God, I want Your will, not my will. Because if I got Your will, I'll know the doctrine. I won't be confused. Too many people are confused because they're not willing to walk in the Word and to know the doctrine of God. Isn't that true? Isn't it plain? Can you get a hold of this? That's why, to me, these are so important, these scriptures. Now, I'm not taking away from the rest of the scriptures. They're all important. But this just stands out to me. Because I look around and I see this one going this way and this one going that way. And it's contrary to the Word of God. How'd you get off the doctrine? Oh, because your will was not His will. You weren't willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever You would have. What did Paul do? On the way to Damascus, what did he say? He got struck. Brother Larry, what did he say?
He said,
what would you have me to do? That's a simple request, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lord, what would you have me do?
Right.
Know my doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Take on my will. Mm-hmm. Listen to my Son. Listen to my Spirit. Then you'll know.
Yeah.
You won't have to be confused, wandering around out there in Babylon. Oh, Lord, help us. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Why? Because I want God's will to be my will. Is that what you want? Dear ones, you're going to have to give up the world. You're going to have to give up your ambition. You're going to have to give up those loves that hold you back from serving the Most High God. And if you're willing to do that, the doctrine will become clear to you. You'll know His will concerning you, concerning your life. I believe that's what these scriptures are saying. Lord, help us. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And they shall be, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You see, if you take on His will, He's going to write His doctrines in your mind and in your heart. No confusion. Your will, God, not mine. And this is a covenant, this is a promise He's made with you and I today in this day and time. He wants to write His covenant on your heart and on your mind. His doctrine, His word. Are you willing? Are you willing? You can have this if you will. If you will, you can have it. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. It doesn't matter who you are, what family you come from. God is no respecter of persons. You can be high and mighty or low and down there somewhere. Well, that's where I was at. And He still reached down there and pull you up. Save your soul. All you got to say is, Lord, I want to do it your way. That's simple. Lord, I want your will. And I want you to write those laws on my mind and in my heart. I want to know your doctrine. I want to live it. Praise God. Mark. Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark, the 4th chapter and the 24th verse. Mark 4 and 24. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. And to you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Dear ones, if you're not willing to pray that prayer and say, Lord, not my will but yours, what you have can be stolen from you. The devil's looking to what he can take. And if you haven't got it firmly grounded and rooted, he'll take that little bit that you have. And you'll have nothing left. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Pray that prayer. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. 30th verse. Whereunto shall they be likened unto the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, that shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Are you able to hear it? You can have faith like that little herb, that little seed, so small, and put in the ground, and it grows into something great that the fowls will nest in it and the animals will take shade and comfort under it. Dear ones, great faith can do great things. Little faith does little things. I don't care if yours is small or great. You could have more. If you're willing to say, yes, Lord, your will be done. I want to know, Lord, what you would have me do. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Dear ones, I believe that. I believe that he is faithful. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Can I provoke you tonight? Can I provoke you? You know, that word doesn't sound real good out in the world, but when you know what it's talking about, it's encouraging you to step forward. Make a consecration unto God. Say, God, your will. I want to do it your way. Lord, help me. 1 Timothy, I'm about done here. Lord bless. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and the 5th verse. Now the end of the commandment is charity, that's love, out of a pure heart. How do we get a pure heart? Dear ones, you can start by coming to this old altar right here and saying, Lord, wash me clean. Take everything that's in me that ought not be and get rid of it. Give me a pure heart. A heart. I remember I was working with a young man named Buzzy. And I'd been talking to him about God and he was interested. He came to church with me and the minister got up and preached and got to Buzzy's heart and he went up there and he knelt down and he got saved. He got up from that and he started to walk back to the seat and I reached out and grabbed him, pulled him, hugged him. I said, Buzzy, Buzzy, how is it with your soul? He said, I don't know, Brian. He said, all I know is right now I love everybody. God started making a change right there, didn't he? A pure heart. Now the end of the commandment is a charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Lord, help us. One more scripture. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter and the 5th verse. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why I read this, dear ones, is because we got work to do. We've got work to do. People say, well, I'm saved now and that's it, I've made it. Oh, no. Oh, no, you're just getting started. Remember the saying about I don't remember who said this, maybe it's Spurgeon. He said, you know, when you get up from prayer, that isn't when it ends. That's when it begins. What you just prayed about begins right then. When you left your head. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Lord, help us. Appreciate your prayers tonight. The altar is open, and I'd like to invite anyone. God talked to you tonight. Did the word touch you? Would you like to have His will be your will? Do you want Him to write His doctrines upon your heart and upon your mind? All you've got to do is ask. Praise God. Pray for me.